Brothers Orchestra, Tuxedo Junction on KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. The American freighter Maya Gaz is nearing Singapore, its first stop since being recovered from Cambodia. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Maya Gaz and her 40 crewmen should be sailing into Singapore about a half hour from now. After they dock, the crew members are to be flown to rejoin their families. Secretary of State Kissinger said Friday the military action taken to recover the vessel show other countries there are limits beyond which the United States cannot be pushed. Kissinger said after Cambodia seized the vessel Monday, the U.S. waited 60 hours to see if diplomacy would work. He said it was only after it did not that the decision was made to board the Maya Gaz, bomb the Cambodian mainland, and send U.S. Marines to land on the Cambodian island of Koh Tang. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing Exploring America 1776 with CBS News correspondent Charles Carroll.
The American victory at Saratoga was remarkable in many ways. This battle was the turning point of the Revolution.
The Battle of Saratoga, where wily New Englanders got the best of the British. Just one of the many interesting places you will hear about on Exploring America 1776, the weekend of May 24th and 25th on the CBS Radio Network.
In Beirut, some members of the Arab guerrilla organization Al Fatah are claiming credit for a powerful explosion in Israel. But Israeli officials are not convinced the Arabs did it. Bruno Wassertile has a report from Tel Aviv.
Israeli investigators say they're now certain that the explosion that blew up a munitions warehouse in a military industries area north of Tel Aviv was not caused by sabotage or guerrillas. They believe that the blast, which shattered hundreds of windows and knocked doors off their hinges in nearby residential areas, was the result of a fire or the leakage of some combustible liquids. Some 25 persons in surrounding neighborhoods required first aid treatment for cuts caused by flying glass, but Israeli officials said there were no other casualties. The shockwave knocked in scores of shop windows in Tel Aviv's suburban Ramat HaSharon region, and police patrols were called out after a few cases of looting were reported. Israeli radio announced that all property damage caused by the explosion would be repaired at government expense. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
A federal judge in Butte, Montana has ruled that if there is a military draft in the future, it must apply to women as well as men. U.S. District Judge W.D. Murray said the military draft, as it has been administered, is sexually discriminatory. An appeal in the case seems likely, as the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled several times that the draft laws are not discriminatory. A new proposal to grant amnesty to draft resistors is being considered by the House Civil Liberties Subcommittee. Deserters and draft dodgers would be given blanket amnesty simply by signing a statement that their actions resulted from disapproval of U.S. military action in Indochina. Committee Chairman Robert Kastenmeier says he has doubts about the possibility of passage.
I would expect a lot of opposition to it among other members of Congress, and I doubt very much whether that would actually become law, but to the extent that there is a majority for it, it would be moved along legislatively in the House of Representatives.
Kastenmeier says he'll call another meeting of his subcommittee next month to try to reach a decision. The Senate has passed and sent to President Ford a $5.3 billion emergency appropriations bill to create 900,000 new public service jobs. The president is thought to be leaning toward a veto, believing the money figure is too large. The president and Mrs. Ford of Friday night attended a reception and dinner at the Iranian embassy in honor of the visiting Shah of Iran and Empress Farah. The dinner guests dined on shish kebab, caviar, and Iranian stew. Now this.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
The government of Nepal has announced that a 35-year-old Japanese housewife has become the first woman to climb Mount Everest. Mrs. Junko Tabai reached the 29,000-foot summit of the world's highest peak as a member of an all-woman 15-member team. However, the women were escorted to the 24,000-foot base camp by 9 male guides. Doug Poling, CBS News.
One man was killed and another injured in a two-car crash at Lost Lake near Santiam Pass on Highway 20 west of Bend. The name of the victim has not been released pending notification of his family. Oregon State Police say the injured man was taken to a hospital in Redmond. His name also is not available at this time. A Coast Guard helicopter from the air station in North Bend has taken an injured Russian seaman from his ship to the Bay Area Hospital in Coos Bay. The Coast Guard reports that the 30-year-old seaman was picked up from a cargo ship, the Ostrov, when a radio message said he had received head injuries and requested help. The Coast Guard had not determined the name of the man, who is reported to be in good condition. The Ostrov, a support ship for the Russian fishing fleet, was 30 miles west of Florence. A joint telegram from 19 active environmental organizations was sent to Senator Mark Hatfield today, urging the Oregon Republican to oppose confirmation of former Wyoming Governor Stanley Hathaway as Interior Secretary. The environmentalists said Hathaway puts development first, the environment second. As Northwest Steelheaders President Mike Salley put it, oil shale and strip mining development are areas the former governor went out of his way to promote. Conservationists also expressed concern over Hathaway's talk of a jet port in Grand Teton National Park, permits for Wyoming ranchers to shoot eagles, and damming the scenic Upper Green River. Salley took issue with Hatfield's position cabinet nominations should not be opposed by the Senate. He said confirmation becomes a meaningless ritual when the balance of advice and consent shrinks to a mere rubber stamp authority. The Bonneville Power Administration's draft environmental impact statement on planning for Northwest electrical needs through 1990 has been termed inadequate. Chairman Russell Peterson of the President's Council on Environmental Quality says the statement contains relatively little detail on the regional program or on BPA's participation. Peterson complains in a letter to the Interior Department that the BPA discussed its hydrothermal power program only in the most general terms. The weather for the Portland to Vancouver area, fair tonight through Saturday night, cloudy Sunday with a chance of light rain late in the day, low both nights 45 to 50, high both days in the mid-70s with light northwest winds, chance of measurable rainfall near zero through Saturday. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 53 degrees. That's KOIN News at 8.5 minutes after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. You are standing in the doorway of the diabolic, the dangerous, the deadly. And in a minute or so, you will hear one of the strangest tales we've ever told. A story unlike any we have ever poured into your willing ears. Because this is a story about a man you knew only too well. A man who personified the diabolic, the dangerous, the deadly, to an entire generation, a man the world will never forget or forgive.
We're pumping too fast, Doctor.
Look at his skin, he's turning purple.
Wait another minute. We must improve his heart action.
You'll kill him this way. He's too old to stand this.
Look, he's trying to speak.
That is...
Yes, my hero, yes, I know. You are tired, my Führer.
Our mystery drama, The Rise and Fall of the Fourth Reich, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Robert Dryden and Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Yeah, freedom spirit. Like a wild bird's call.
It's vacation time. The city is disappearing in your rearview mirror. Just you, your family, and Buick LeSabre. A great family car. Comfortable, accommodating, economical. In fact, published EPA figures show a LeSabre with a 5.7-liter V8 got 16 miles per gallon in the highway test and 12 in the city test. Couple that with LeSabre's 26-gallon gas tank, and you can put a lot of highway behind you in a single tank. LeSabre, you're going to love it.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Hun, would you please pass the potatoes?
Anyone want some more rolls? Bill, care for a couple more slices?
What's the dessert?
Dessert can wait. Finish what's on your plate. And don't forget your vegetables.
Boy, was that good.
You're not finished. What am I going to do with all this food? Who wants seconds?
Oh, golly, I can't eat it though. A typical American scene around a typical American dinner table. Yet while these people are having their dinner just as they've done every night of their lives, there are millions of children starving just as they've done every night of their lives. Children in Honduras, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam. Save the Children wants to help these children and their families and their communities. But to help them, we need your help first to provide food for the children of the world. Send your contributions to Save the Children, Box 970, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, New York, 10017. Do it before your next meal. You'll find it very satisfying.
This is Mexico City, a noisy, bustling city, full of people and automobile traffic. Right now, we're standing at the intersection of the Paseo de la Reforma and the Avenida de los Insurgentes. We're watching a black Thunderbird make its way down the avenue and then turn into the narrow, crazy quilt streets of the makeshift neighborhood they call the Ciudades Perdidas, one of the lost cities built by the squatters. There are two men in that automobile. One of them is a man of 71 years, and his name is Dr. Hans Bundeschaff. The other is a man who has many names, so we'll let him introduce himself.
You can call me Gunther. When I lived in London, I used the name George Brighton. When I lived in New York, I called myself... What's the difference? Now I'm in Mexico. And my name is Gunther Binder. And that's good enough.
Gunther, is that the building?
Yes, yes, looks like it.
Do you have the photograph with you?
Right here in the envelope. Yes, that's the building, Doctor. But it looks empty, even abandoned.
If our information is correct, and if God is with us, there is still one occupant.
As we mounted the stairs of the ancient building, it was hard to believe that the information was correct, or that God was even aware of this dingy hovel on the edge of nowhere. But then we were at the door of the third floor back apartment, and it was obvious that no lock was necessary because no thief could be interested in what might lie behind that door. But we were very interested. We had spent a lifetime seeking it. Or rather, seeking him.
Gunther. Gunther, look.
Dear Lord. He
doesn't look alive.
Yes, yes, but he's breathing. You can see him breathe.
Doctor, how can we be sure? He doesn't look like... There's barely any resemblance.
He's 86 years old, Gunther. What did you expect?
But we are sure it's him?
There's no question of verification. It's him. The one we have sought for so long. I must try to speak to him.
He's unconscious. He won't hear you.
I must try. My Führer. My Führer. Can you hear me? My Führer. We have come to take you home.
But our work was just beginning. First, we emptied the trunk of our rented automobile, and I brought the heavy black suitcase containing Dr. Bundeschaft's apparatus up the three flights of rickety stairs. Fortunately, the man we had found in the third floor back apartment was the building's only occupant, so our thumping and bumping didn't disturb anyone, not even the man himself, who remained comatose throughout, his breathing growing more labored all the time.
We'll have to use the oxygen soon. I think he's suffering from cardiac insufficiency.
Are we too late, Doctor?
No. He's lasted this long. He'll last until we're ready. We'll have to clean up this place, too. It's filthy.
Our informant said there was an old lady who took care of him.
Yeah, I've seen her. She came around while we were bringing the trunks upstairs. She asked me about El Ciego.
El Ciego? That means the blind one. Is he blind?
Mm. Cataracts, thick as bottles over both eyes. But don't worry, Gunther, we'll take care of that too. Our Führer will see again. Our Führer will see the coming glory.
What did you tell the old woman?
Something that didn't surprise her. I told her, él está muerto. He is dead.
Él está muerto. Yes. Of course, the old lady believed it, and so did the rest of the world. Because our Führer had arranged it that way, in one of the most subtly conceived and well-executed deceptions in history. A plan formulated long before the first excavation of the Führer bunker below the Chancellery. I remember that day in Berlin, when the operative we called Leopard came up with the exciting news.
I'm telling you, it's true. I got the information straight from the engineer in charge of the construction.
But what happened? How did they find the tunnel?
They were making a foundation for a new apartment building in the Hansa Quarter, and the whole thing collapsed. That's how they uncovered it. 6 miles long, Gunther, leading straight from the Chancellery to what must have been a secret airfield.
That's just speculation.
Hear the rest of it. There's a barn at the site, or what's left of a barn. But there isn't any loft or stables or anything you might expect to find in a barn.
You mean it was used as a hangar?
Nobody wants to believe it. Not officially. Or they'll claim that Hitler never carried out his escape plan.
But you think otherwise.
What I believe is the Führer confided his true intentions only to Bormann and Goebbels. All the others in the bunker were kept in the dark so they could testify to the authorities about his so-called suicide and Viking funeral.
Good Lord. But the body in the blanket, the body that Heinz Linger burned.
It was a corpse that he burned. But not the corpse of Adolf Hitler.
I simply can't believe it.
You remember Bormann's statement that the face had to be covered because it was disfigured?
Yes.
Gunther, the face was covered because it was the face of some orderly. Not the face of der Führer.
That face was in front of me. His face. The little square mustache gone. The black hair with its slanted lock across that famous forehead. Gone. The lips that had once blared out martial music loud enough to stir the world had vanished into a black, toothless hole. The eyes that had given hypnotic guidance to millions looked out blindly through thick, gray windows. I stared at that face, and I turned to Dr. Bundeschaft. Doctor, is it really possible? Can we make him smile again?
It is possible, Gunther. We can make him smile and feel happiness for the future. But first, we must make him understand.
Shall I increase the pressure, Doctor?
Yes. Slowly, slowly.
He doesn't seem to respond to anything. I'm not a physician. I know my opinion doesn't matter.
He's not in coma, Gunther. This condition of his is more resignation. He has stopped caring about being alive.
His skin color is changing.
More pressure, Gunther.
The needle is near the danger mark now.
More pressure, I say.
We are pumping too fast, Doctor. Look at his skin. He's turning purple.
Another minute. We must improve his heart action.
You'll kill him this way. He's too old to stand this.
He's trying to speak.
Estoy cansado.
What's he saying?
Quick, kill the pump.
Cansado.
It's not German.
No, Gunther. It isn't German. But don't forget, he's lived outside of Germany for 30 years.
What does he say?
He says that he is tired. Very tired. He wants us to leave him in peace. My Führer, listen to me.
Do you think he hears you?
Look at his eyes.
He's blind.
He knows someone is here, Gunther. My Führer.
Stay cansado.
Yes, my Führer. I know you are tired, but now you can sleep. And when you wake, we will give you the future.
It was another 24 hours before Stiller arrived. Stiller was a doctor too, but he was able to do something that Dr. Bundeschaff could never do. He was an ophthalmologist, and he would apply his surgeon's skill to the cataracts that prevented our Führer from seeing the men who had come to restore him to power.
I'll do what I can, Hans. But don't expect me to perform miracles.
Well, why not, Stiller? We have performed one. We have found him.
It's not enough simply to remove the cataracts. He'll need to be fitted with special glasses.
Perhaps not. Not after our endocrine treatment.
Hans, you still persist in this dream.
I know what I have accomplished before. I know what I can accomplish now.
But this challenge is too great. A man of his age, in his condition...
I will need your assistance, Schiller. Gunther is a fine young man, but he lacks professional skill.
I'm an eye doctor, Hans. I know nothing about glands and hormones and all your other mysteries.
Please, Schiller, help me. Help me make it worthwhile for those eyes to see again.
All right, Hans. If you can believe in miracles, I suppose I can too.
The operation was performed. From Stiller's point of view, it was a success. The gray clouds covering the old man's eyes were lifted. But it was only after new strength was pumped relentlessly into his bloodstream, after stimulants had excited the action of his heart and liver and pancreas and nervous system, did we see any reaction or result. And then the moment arrived. The moment when Adolf Hitler opened his eyes and spoke to us.
Who are you? Did you hear me? Who are you? What do you want of me?
We are your subjects.
What?
Your subjects, my Führer.
You are mad. You are all mad. I am no one. Let me alone. Let me die.
No, my Führer. You will not die.
Stop calling me that. My name is Markus.
Please, listen to me carefully, my Führer. My name is Hans Bundeschaff. I am a doctor, an endocrinologist. I served your cause for many years. I have performed thousands of experiments on behalf of the Reich. Experiments probing into the very core of life itself.
Yeah, please. You must stop this. I will not hear more of this talk. These lies. I am nothing but an old man.
My Führer, please, hear me out. While you were bringing Germany victories on the battlefield, I was seeking victory in the laboratory. I failed, just as we all did.
Failed? We were betrayed.
Yes. betrayed. Of course. And out of that betrayal, we were defeated. But out of that defeat may now come victory.
Victory? What are you saying?
He speaks the truth, my Führer.
Who are you?
I am Gunther. Gunther Binder, your subject, too.
This is madness.
I know that I was too young to serve your cause when you first brought glory to our nation, but my father served it and died for it, and now I want to be part of the new glory.
New glory? What are you raving about? Lunatics!
Tell him, Doctor, please.
No, Gunther. You tell him.
All right, I will. My Führer, we have come to restore you to power.
As you can see, we have found ourselves in the middle of a horror story. A nightmare made all the more terrifying because of the reality that inspired it. But can Dr. Hans Bundeschaft make good on his incredible promise? Can a handful of men, even with the decayed body of a former tyrant, create a fourth Reich in the world? We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal, and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Hey, when's the last time you made a wish?
I wish I could get an angiometry.
I wish for a place to live.
I wish I was in Omaha with my grandmother and grandfather.
Wishing is very important, you know.
I think I wish for all the children in the world to be well and healthy and have enough to eat.
I wish I could lose 100 pounds.
I wish I had a bike.
My wish is for good health.
Wishing means you hope for better things.
I wish we could find solutions to the crime problem.
I wish that we win every soccer game in our league.
I wish, and I really wish, the price of food would go down.
If you want hope, you've got to make a wish.
If I have one wish, it's to understand my children.
I wish that everything works out between my boyfriend and me.
I just wish for a job.
I wish all the lost children would come home to their fathers.
Because without a wish, there can be no hope.
Yeah, I wish there were more love and truth and less loneliness in the world.
From the Franciscans, with love.
Strange things are taking place in a near-abandoned hovel on the edge of Mexico City. The third-floor-back apartment has been converted into a clean white box of a room filled with gleaming chrome apparatus and the smell of strong chemicals. But there is something more than medical progress being discussed. For the men who have gathered in this room are discussing surgery on the world.
Don't misunderstand, my Führer. We are not men of politics. We know there are others who can guide you better than we.
Politics? I know nothing of politics. Why should an old man know anything but the water he drinks, the food he puts into his mouth?
But you remember this much, my Führer. You remember that politics is power. Nothing more.
Power? And is that what you offer me? Are you my army? My legions? Is this my new chancellery?
But we speak of a different power now.
There is only one power. Strength. And I have none. Look at me. I am old. Dying.
But the power we are talking about is strength. Strength
life, youth.
Youth? Now I know you are mad. You would make me young again?
Yes. Yes, my Führer. We can give you back the years that were lost in Germany when you so wisely escaped from Berlin.
We don't know how many years we can promise you or how much vitality we can restore. But it will suffice for your return to the fatherland.
Hans, look at him. His eyes.
Madness. All madness.
It is enough for now, Hans. Let him rest. You've troubled him enough.
We must make him understand. It's no good unless he realizes.
No. Stella is right. He has stopped listening to us. We will speak to him again. Later.
It was later, all right. Almost 2 weeks later, before we heard the voice of Adolf Hitler again. But Bundeschaft was a busy man during that two-week period. I had expected him to begin the testosterone treatments first, but instead he chose to administer massive doses of vitamins. And then he began a series of amphetamine injections whose effects he watched with concern for the stamina of Hitler's heart. But the Führer survived. And then Bundeschaft began the critical phase, the hormonal injections which he had used to restore temporary youth to gray-haired rodent veterans of the laboratory. Stiller and I watched the procedure in awe and skepticism.
A man isn't a rat, Hans. It's simply not the same thing.
We have had similar results with primate, Stiller. Don't tell me now that a man is not an ape.
I still cannot believe in this miracle of yours.
But he is stronger. You can see that for yourself. He grows stronger every day.
But will he grow younger?
We'll soon know.
And then, on the night of the 10th day, we were awakened by a horrendous cry.
My God! My God, what is it?
It's him!
The Führer must not be bound by existing legal regulations! The Führer is leader of the nation, supreme commander of the armed forces, head of government, supreme executive chief, supreme justice, and leader of the party.
He's out of my head.
Yes, my Führer, please, easy. Lie back and relax.
I must conserve my strength.
Yes, that's right, you must.
My strength is the strength of Germany.
Seems to have gone back to sleep.
Yes. Yes, he sleeps. And this time, his dreams are brighter. Much brighter, Gunther.
Führer's dreams were brighter, but Dr. Bundeschaft's dream began to fade as the days wore on. Despite daily massive doses of the hormonal formula, there seemed to be little change in the years that lined the face of Adolf Hitler, and Stiller began to question whether the dream would ever be fully realized.
Hans, why do you persist? I was never convinced that your primate experiments were valid.
Everyone has been skeptical. Most of all myself. But I know it is true, Stella.
You should have conducted other human experiments first. To begin with this
one? There could not be a more important beginning.
Or ending. Didn't you have many deaths? Even among your apes?
Yes, there were errors. A sudden change in the androgen balance can sometimes be dangerous.
And if such a change occurs now, what will you have? A dead old man?
No, this is one thing we must not have. Merely a dead old man.
And so the experiment went on day after day, until finally some improvement began to appear.
Blood pressure?
Almost in the normal range.
Red blood cell count?
Not much improvement yet.
Muscle tone.
That's hard to say, Doctor. Skin seems firmer to the touch, more elastic.
You see, Stella, one improvement after another. Do you still think we will fail?
It's a question of time, Hans. But do you have enough time?
Yes. Yes, time. Time is the enemy. We're in a race. All right. We will double our efforts by doubling the dosages.
But that might kill him. The shock.
We will have to try, Gunther.
So we doubled the dosages. The risk was great, but Dr. Bundeshoff was encouraged by Hitler's ability to withstand the initial treatment. There was only one problem. The increased dosages seemed to affect his mind, and days of delirium followed.
Yeah, fools. All fools. Our enemies are enemies of themselves.
What is he saying,
Gunther? I can't make it out.
Britain. Britain is a dying empire. Dying. America is trying to be its heir. Russia wants the Balkans. Deprive them of the belief that victory is certain. We must show them that they can never reckon on our capitulation. Never. Never.
Doctor, don't you think this is dangerous?
No, no, let him carry on.
Smash the Americans. 45 German divisions.
His voice grows stronger.
Get me General Keller.
He may be unhinged, Doctor. Then all this would have been for nothing.
We must wait and see.
There must be no holding back now. No commander must hold back his forces. Disobedience will be punished by death. Keller, I hold you personally responsible. Do you understand?
What is he saying? Who are those people?
He commands generals who are gone.
I say that he's mad. I say this whole experiment is mad.
No, no, Schiller. The fear only dreams. He must dream of yesterday before he can dream of tomorrow.
The second miracle took place that same day.
Here, carefully.
Yeah.
Lift him carefully.
Here, Doctor. Let me help you.
Sonia.
Are you sure it's all right to do this, Hans?
Yes. Yes, I think we can. All the life signs are encouraging. His pulse, his color, his blood pressure.
Even his eyes seem to be in better focus, Doctor. I think he's beginning to see us.
His lips are moving.
He does see us.
My Führer, can you hear me? Can you understand what I am saying? My Führer.
Who are you?
I told you my name. It is Bundeshoff.
You are German?
Yes. Yes, I am German, and I am a physician.
Why are you here? What is your purpose here?
My purpose is reincarnation, my Führer.
There is no such thing.
Then I will use the word rejuvenation.
You can make people young again.
It has been my goal for all the years of my life.
And where were you, Doctor? During the war.
I was assigned by the SS to Dachau to participate in the noble experiments of racial hygiene. But I convinced my superior, Dr. Sigmund Rosser, that I would be better utilized in research which would uncover the mysteries of the aging process.
I know of no such experiment.
It was to be Dr. Rosser's surprise present to you, my Führer. A gift such as no loyal subject had yet given you. The secret of eternal youth itself.
And so, what became of this gift?
Dr. Rosser abandoned the experiments after our early failures. Like Steinach and Voronoff before us, our efforts produced only short-lived improvement in the aged. We were forced to conclude that the testes of men were useful only in the formation of spermatozoa and the secretion of hormone.
Yeah, I understand nothing of this.
That even the synthesis of testosterone was of no great consequence, although testosterone was one of the chemicals I still employ in the process.
What process?
The process I developed in Stockholm, where I worked after the war. It is no magic formula, my Führer. It is a synergistic group of chemicals which I believe will eventually lead to an acceptable method of human rejuvenescence.
Is it true? Is what you say really true?
It is. It is all true, my Führer.
You can make me as I was.
We can do only so much.
But it will be enough for the cause. Enough to make the world tremble at your resurrection from the dead.
The world.
And when you make your reappearance at the proper time, in the proper place, it will be like a lightning bolt illuminating the planet.
That is our hope, my Führer. We wish it to be your hope, too.
Hope. But I had abandoned it 30 years ago.
But we bring you hope again, my Führer. Hope for a new beginning. The beginning of the next 1,000 years.
Tell us. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us what you wish.
Very well. I will tell you what I wish. I wish for something to eat.
And with those words, we knew that it was going to work. That our Führer was back among us again. That the day of the Fourth Reich had dawned.
The Fourth Reich sends shivers up and down your back, doesn't it? But the idea has created ecstasy in that small room in Mexico City as three men watch eagerly as Adolf Hitler dines. His appetite used to be greater. He could swallow whole countries at one sitting. Now he seems to be content with a bowl of soup. But if he has a new chance at power, well, let's wait and see what happens when I return with Act Three.
Radio. It's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains. And radio does something else. It sells. Quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C. There are still exciting events occurring for Doctors Bundeshoff and Stiller and the young man who calls himself Gunther. The same excitement parents feel when their child takes his first hesitant step, because now Adolf Hitler is taking his.
Careful. Carefully now. Don't overdo it.
My limbs are still so weak.
Take my arm, my Führer.
No, no, no. I can do it alone. I must do it alone.
Good, good.
Yeah, only this far, my Führer. Just to the chair.
Yes. Yes, I can. I can do it. There.
Ah, you did it. I knew you could.
And now
I want to see a mirror.
A mirror?
You heard what I said. I wish to look at myself.
It's all right, Gunther. There's a mirror advisor in my bag. Let him look into that.
Yes, 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 of course. Ah, here it is.
Is that me?
Yes. Yes, my Führer. You can see how much you have changed since our arrival. How much firmer your flesh has become. How much improved the color of your skin is.
But I am still hairless.
Yes, yes. The hormonal treatments cannot restore your hair. If anything, they do the opposite.
But there is still something we can do about that. False hair.
A wig? Like a woman?
For the image, my Führer. Only for the sake of your image. A wig, a mustache, so that all those who see you will know and remember.
Yeah, that must be done. For the sake of my people, I must return to my people the way they remember me.
Within the week, it was accomplished. Stiller found the appropriate adornments, a hairpiece that vaguely resembled Hitler's own. The mustache was easier to find. When we looked at the effect, we all shuddered in ecstasy. And when Hitler himself saw the image, it did as much for him as all of Bundeschaft's formulas and vitamins and injections. But the Führer became impatient.
Now, I tell you, I'm ready now. Your miracle has worked. Dr. Bundeschaft, you have done what you claimed you could do. Now I am ready to return to my people, to my country, to the world.
There must be no undue haste, my Führer. The timing of your appearance must be right. Tell him, Gunther.
It's true, my Führer. The entire movement must be carefully prepared for the putsch that will bring you back to power.
Then prepare them. Tell them I am here. I know they have been waiting for me as I waited for them for long, empty years after the war.
And they never dreamed that their talk would be led by their beloved Führer himself.
But now they must know.
They will, my Führer. In time they will. But the world has changed since you went into exile.
Fool! Do you think I managed to live to this age of mine? An outcast? A useless derelict? By feeding on the past? No. No, what sustained me was the future. Always the thought of the future.
That was wise.
For years after my exile, I considered the means whereby the Reich would rise again. I knew the day of great land armies was over and finished. Of armadas and armor and massive bombing. I knew that victory was now determined by a handful of excited atoms.
Yes. Yes, you are quite correct, my Führer.
That would be my plan of conquest for the Reich. My warriors would be atomic guerrillas.
Please, don't excite yourself.
Then tell them, Bundeschaft. Tell them I am ready.
Yes, my Führer. We will communicate with the Vaterland and tell them.
Dr. Stiller left us that afternoon. He had a serious operation to perform on the retina of a close friend. It didn't matter, however, his part in the experiment was over. Mine, though, was still important. I left the small room on a series of errands, shopping for the vegetable staples which constituted the diet of Adolf Hitler, buying pharmaceutical supplies and picking up a large, flat box at a tailor shop whose proprietor seemed mystified by what he had just delivered into my hands. Here it is, Doctor.
Yes. Yes, it's perfect. Exactly what we wanted.
And now to find out how well it fits. 20 minutes later, Adolf Hitler was in full uniform. He stepped out in front of us, a willing model, turning to give his audience the full benefit of the effect. His right hand was on his hip. The left, still useless from the bomb damage that had destroyed his nerves, was held rigidly at his side. An iron cross hung from the breast pocket, and there was a black, white, and red armband circling his left arm, the sign of the broken cross. But there was one other thing in the image before us, the most electrifying sight of all. Adolf Hitler was smiling.
They call you Günther?
Yes, my Führer.
I will call you Günther, too.
Thank you, my Führer.
You will be rewarded, Günther. You and Dr. Bundeschaff and Dr. Stiller, you will all three be at my side in the coming days of victory. You will be privileged to witness the birth of true peace in this world. True peace, Günther. You know what that is?
No, my Führer.
Not the peace of blind pacifists. Peace not supported on the palm leaf fans of tearful pacifist mourning women, but founded on the victorious sword of a lordly people that puts the world to work for a higher culture. Do you understand, Günther?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Why are you sweating? What's the matter?
It's nothing, sir. I am just overwhelmed.
My Führer, please, you must not excite yourself.
Steiner must counterattack the Russians. The Luftwaffe ground troops must be alert.
Please, you must sit again. You stood too long.
Yeah, I must sit down. And you, Günther, you must come here.
Go ahead, Günther.
Günther, kneel down.
Yes, my Führer. I am kneeling.
Günther, you must take this.
No, my Führer, not the Iron Cross. It is yours.
No. I wish you to have it. I wish you to have it from your Führer's own hand. For bravery in battle. For exemplifying the ideals of Aryan manhood. Here, Günther, my son. I give you... Wait. What is that?
What, my Führer?
This chain around your neck.
Only a chain, my Führer?
But this ornament hanging from it...
It's not an ornament, my Führer. It is a symbol. It is called the Star of David.
What? A Star of David? The Jewish Star of David?
It was given to me by my father. No, not from his hand directly. He was dead when I received it.
Bundeschaft! Bundeschaft! Do you hear this? You are harboring a traitor! A traitor!
The truth is, I took it from his body. I was only 5 years old at the time, but I had the sense to take it from him before it was taken by the guards at Auschwitz.
Bundeschaft! Do you hear? Kill him! Kill him! We are betrayed!
It's taken me 36 years to get here, my Führer. 36 years after my holiday in Auschwitz. 34 years after Dr. Rusche froze my mother and father to death before my eyes. My naked mother and father lying on the ground, while the guards poured water over their bodies and grumbled that they had to crack the ice before the water would pour.
Bundeschaft! Quickly! He means to hurt me!
I hear the sound of the cracking ice always in my ears, and the sound of that water splashing, and the sound of my mother's voice begging for a quicker death, begging for something that you won't be denied! Adolf!
Stop, that's enough.
No, Doctor, not enough!
Bundeschaft! He has a knife!
A scalpel, Adolf. A scalpel for the final incision.
My God. Bundeschaft, help me. He has cut my wrist wide open. I am bleeding.
Gunther, why? Why did you do this?
Save me, Doctor. We have been betrayed once again. Betrayed by...
Gunther. Why couldn't you have waited? Why couldn't you let us bring him home and share your vengeance?
What are you saying? Bundashev, not you too. You are not part of this betrayal.
No. No, my Führer. Not part of a betrayal. Merely part of a revenge.
But I thought you were a good German. A loyal German.
Yes. Yes, I was that, my Führer, until I was brought to your service in Dachau and learned what loyalty meant to those who served depraved animals.
The bleeding. Hey, stop, please, the bleeding.
No, no, Doctor, let it happen here and now.
But why? Why did you do this? Why did you give me back my strength, my hope? I was a dying old man. Why did you make me into this? Only to murder me.
You don't know. You don't understand, my Führer.
No. Why? Why?
Tell him, Günther.
Who cared about destroying a dying old man? What good was our vengeance unless you had strength and hope? Now, do you understand, my Führer?
And so, Adolf Hitler dies. Not in the bunker beneath the chancellery in Berlin, but in a dingy, deserted rooming house in Mexico City. There will be no Viking funeral for him this time. No obituaries, no mourners. Just a memory. A very bad memory. But one which no man can ever afford to forget. I'll be back shortly.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well too, and you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people. Because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high near...
You know, some people might find it hard to believe the story you've just heard, either because they can't accept the idea that Hitler might still be alive, or they can't accept the idea of rejuvenation. Well, I can't prove the first part, but I think I can support the second, because I know a prime example of rejuvenation. It's called radiodrama. We hope you agree. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Robert Dryden, Joe Silver, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'm a very busy man.
And prefer to spend as little time as possible in the company of anyone as vicious and depraved as Guy Richards. Yes, I know. But that's exactly why I asked you to come and see me. Warden, before very long, you're going to be spending all your time in my company. I don't blame you for looking puzzled. Let me explain.
Yes, do explain.
A little more than a year ago, Warden, I was a professor of parapsychology at the university. I was happily married, successful, and deeply involved in my work. And then suddenly, shockingly, for no apparent reason, I became, well, the embodiment, you might say, of a man who has been dead for many, many years.
My name's Bill Garrity from KOIN in Portland. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Have a nice weekend. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The American freighter Maya Gas should be arriving in Singapore any time now. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Singapore is the first stop for the vessel and her 40 crewmen after they were released Thursday by Cambodia. Two American destroyers remained in the Gulf of Thailand to help search for 13 U.S. Marines and airmen still listed as missing. The men were lost in the early minutes of the assault on Koh Tang Island. Secretary of State Kissinger said Friday the Maya Gas affair shows the United States cannot be pushed beyond certain limits. At a Washington news conference, Kissinger had this exchange with CBS News correspondent Marvin Cowell.
Secretary, the only basic criticism that has been directed at the administration's actions is that perhaps the administration moved much too quickly militarily and did not give diplomacy a chance to work.
Come on, Marvin, break down. Maybe we did something right. Statistically, we're bound to do it sometime.
Kissinger said the U.S. waited 60 hours to see if diplomacy would work and acted militarily when it did not. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God." Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation. A large fire broke out Saturday morning following an explosion at a Gulf oil refinery in Philadelphia. Fire Lieutenant Lee Glasgow tells CBS News.
The fire is under control. It was, at its height, 6 mile fire. The only report that I have on it is that it involved two old tanks and a shed. And there have been no further reports from the fire ground.
No injuries were reported from the refinery fire in Philadelphia. The Watergate Special Prosecutor's Office has obtained some more tapes and papers from former President Nixon. This time, there were no court fights involved with Mr. Nixon's lawyers. The material will be used in remaining criminal cases related to the Watergate scandal. The prosecutor is also taking a closer look at some of the material previously turned over. Daniel Shore has that story.
The House Judiciary Committee's own transcript of the Nixon tape showed important changes and omissions from the White House version. As a result, CBS News learned Special Prosecutor Henry Ruth is asking the grand jury to act under a law making it a crime to falsify material subpoenaed in a congressional investigation. A spokesman for the prosecutor confirmed that he is conducting an investigation of what went into preparing the White House document. Being called as witnesses, it's understood, are General Alexander Haig, who was President Nixon's chief of staff, and J. Fred Buzhardt, the White House lawyer who worked most closely on the tapes. The magazine The New Republic says the former special counsel James St. Clair, who's denied any role in the tapes, is also being called. His introduction to the transcript attested to its accuracy. In a briefing, St. Clair called the transcript Mr. Nixon's work product. Mr. Nixon's lawyer, Herbert Miller, wouldn't comment today on the possibility that the ex-president may be called as a witness. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
An Israeli ammunition plant was rocked by a strong explosion north of Tel Aviv on Friday. There were no serious casualties. In Beirut, Arab guerrillas claim credit for the blast. However, Israeli police said they believe it was due to accidental causes. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing the next in a series of bicentennial weekend specials from the CBS Radio Network with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault.
When the smoke of the revolution cleared, the new nation's capital was Annapolis. In the Maryland State House, the Continental Congress ratified the Treaty of Paris, ending the war. and George Washington resigned as commander-in-chief.
That's one of the stops you will make down the side roads of the Revolution when CBS News correspondent Charles Carroll takes you exploring America 1776. In 30 special broadcasts, you'll follow the route of Paul Revere, visit Fort Vincennes, where the only battle in the West was fought, and stop at the town of 96, South Carolina, where Americans tried to tunnel under a British fortress. Exploring America 1776, 30 historic broadcasts, the weekend of May 24th and 25th, on the CBS Radio Network.
Heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali Friday night successfully defended his title in a bout in Las Vegas. Ali scored an 11th round technical knockout over challenger Ron Lyle. The referee stopped the fight after Ali staggered his opponent with a hard right to the face and a series of punishing jabs. Ali got $1 million for the fight. Lyle got $100,000. Doug Poling, CBS News.
In news of the Northwest, Clackamas Community College has notified 35 classified employees that they will be laid off for 2 months because of budget problems. The employees will not be eligible for unemployment benefits because the layoff is classified as a recess and they can expect to be reinstated in September. The union that represents 23,000 state employees is considering this weekend a request from Governor Bob Straub that a renewed pay offer be submitted to a vote. Lester Strickler, president of the Oregon State Employees Association, says he expects the association board will decide during the weekend meetings in Salem this weekend. Although Straub was not specific about details of the offer, it is believed to be the same as an offer accepted by several unions that represent a smaller number of state employees. A Coast Guard helicopter from the air station in North Bend has taken an injured Russian seaman from his ship to the Bay Area Hospital in Coos Bay. The Coast Guard reports that the 30-year-old seaman was picked up from a cargo ship when a radio message said that he had received head injuries and requested help. The Coast Guard had not determined the name of the man who was reported to be in good condition. The Bonneville Power Administration's draft environmental impact statement on planning for Northwest electrical needs through 1990 has been termed inadequate. Chairman Russell Peterson of the President's Council on Environmental Quality says the statement, in his words, contains relatively little detail on the regional program or on BPA's participation. Patterson complains in a letter to the Interior Department that the BPA discussed its hydrothermal power program only in the most general terms. A 10-year-old Umatilla County girl has died of head injuries after being hit by a train while riding her bicycle over a railroad crossing in her hometown of Echo. She was Tina Bowman. Authorities report she was thrown about 100 feet when hit by a westbound Union Pacific train. A 5-year-old boy was drowned in a tank that was used for storing liquid fertilizer in a barn near his home just outside of Tillamook. Leonard King, the owner of the dairy farm where the tank is located, found the boy in the tank and tried to revive him by artificial respiration. Two armed men have taken $10,000 worth of food stamps in a robbery at the post office in Odell, Oregon. The Hood River County Sheriff's Department reports that it has no information on whether a vehicle was used by the men. Odell is about 6 miles south of Hood River. The Oregon Senate has approved a bill to allow county health departments to offer free voluntary sterilization to men who don't want to father children. The House approved and set aside for possible reconsideration Monday a bill to give the city of Eugene $100,000 in state highway funds to buy the Wayne Morris Ranch for a public park. The weather outlook for Portland-Vancouver calls for fair skies after brief morning clouds today. Increasing clouds then Sunday with a chance of some light rain by Sunday evening. Highs the mid-70s today, near 70 by tomorrow. Lows tonight 45 to 50. The winds northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero today and only 10% by tonight. Currently we have 52 degrees. And that's KOIN News at 1209. This is Chuck Knopf.